Chapter 14. White-hot rage ran through me as the man in black pointed his pistol at Debbie. My first instinct was to tackle the fucker to the ground, but I stopped myself as the other 20 agents stepped forward. "Lower the gun," I said, and Begbie didn't even glance my way when I spoke. His pale blue eyes were fixed on the blonde woman, and his arm shook slightly as he held his pose. The agents behind him looked ready to pounce, and some of them had already taken their guns out as they watched Begbie. Debbie didn't even flinch with the gun pointed at her face, though. She slowly put her hands on her hips and raised an eyebrow as she tapped her foot.
"Feel like a big man now, do you?"
Becca's mom asked in a low tone.
"You weren't getting what you wanted, so you decided to have a little temper tantrum."
I was in awe of Debbie's cool attitude, but I could also tell that poking fun at a man like Begbie was not a good tactic. The bald man's face flushed pink as more sweat dribbled down his forehead, and he looked like a man who was one step away from a breakdown. I took a slow step toward Begbie and got ready to swing my sharp gun around if he made a move. "Listen," I calmly said. "I'm sure you're a busy man, and I know this must be frustrating, but we don't want anyone to get hurt." I tried to weigh up how many agents there were compared to how many locals. It seemed we had more on our side, but that probably wouldn't make much difference when the opposition were trained agents from the Secret Service. I tried to push down the anger in my stomach. If I could de-escalate the situation calmly, then I had more hope of keeping everyone safe. I glanced at Mikey, who was at the back of the group, and noticed he had a bulging backpack down at his feet, which he was opening slowly. I recognized the bag. I had seen the shopkeeper help Cat with it when they transported weapons from the storage to the lessons. It must have been full of rifles and Glocks, and I quickly looked away so I didn't draw any attention to it. "Put the gun down," I said again, as Begbie's eyes started to dart around the group. "Like I said, we can do this without violence. All we need..."
"Oi!"
Becca's voice suddenly cut through the dining hall.
"Get the fuck away from my mom!"
I spun around to see the gorgeous Brit with her long blonde hair swept over to one side of her head and her sharp gun at the ready. Haywan and Kat stood beside her, and both of them also had their alien guns aimed at the bald man. The three beautiful girls looked ready to peel the skin right off Begbie's face if they had to, and I knew right then that shit was about to go down.
"Who the hell are you?"
Begbie roared as he whipped around. It was my chance. I used the sudden distraction to pounce, and I dove into the bald man and knocked the pistol out of his hand before he had time to react. He slammed down onto the floor and yelled out in shock, but I'd already swung my alien weapon around, and I stood over him with the razor-thin muzzle directed at his head. A young woman at the front of the crowd quickly bent down and grabbed the discarded gun, and Mikey started to hurriedly pass out rifles from his bag to the younger members of the group.
"Hey!" Begbie snarled as he scrambled backward across the floor. "Lower that weapon!
Fuck no!" I snorted. Then the men in black lunged at the locals with a synchronized speed that made me jump. They pulled out their guns, and it was obvious that any hope of a peaceful ending to this standoff was over. A gunshot rang out through the dining hall as one of the agents shot at Mikey. Harris barreled into the fucker right as he pulled the trigger, though, and the bullet narrowly missed the armed shopkeeper. Then I aimed my alien gun at the bastard who'd fired on us, and I took a shot. The sharp bullet blasted right out the other side of his neck and into the temple of the agent beside him, and both of them dropped dead on the spot. A millisecond later, the dining hall erupted into chaos, and the agent closest to me threw a punch at my side. I grabbed his wrist before he could pull back, and I slammed the razor-thin butt of my sharp gun into his face. The bronze-colored metal split a gouge across his forehead as his eyes crossed, and he staggered back and crashed into another agent with blood oozing down his face. Another gunshot rang out, and my heart sank as I saw one of the older locals crumple onto the floor. A young agent stood over him with a pistol in hand, and a sea of people wrestled and screamed around them. I looked over to see my girls already in the midst of the chaos too, and five agents rushed toward them like they actually thought they'd be able to disarm them.
"Help!"
Joey screamed, and I spun around to see that Harris had been grabbed by the collar and thrown onto the floor. The red-haired boy stood and cried as he watched his dad fall, and I saw a piece of shit agent raise his gun to the kid.
I barely had time to think before my body sprang into action. I lunged toward Joey and kicked the asshole agent in the knee as I jumped. The man in black made a retching noise as my boot hit his leg, and I felt something crunch before he crumpled to the ground. Then I grabbed Joey, twisted my body so his face was turned away, and I fired my sharp gun at the asshole on the floor. The alien weapon was so light it took no effort to keep my aim steady one-handed, and the chaos in the room was louder than the report even was.
"Jason!"
Joey wailed against my waist.
"I've got you,"
I assured the kid.
"Is Daddy okay?"
he cried. I clutched the kid as I spun around to see Harris receive a kick to the stomach from a huge agent with a bushy beard. Before I could even react, though, the bearded man gargled up blood, and I covered Joey's eyes as I looked over to see Kat lower her sharp gun. Then I shoved my way through the crowd of brawling locals and agents as more and more gunshots echoed out through the dining hall. As I ran, I spotted the other child as she stood in the corner of the room with her hands over her ears. Becca had noticed her too, and the blonde raced over to pick up the child as screams echoed out over the hardwood floor. The red-haired girl who guarded the pantry door had appeared in the lobby, and her face paled as she looked out at the sea of violence.
"Hide the kids!"
I yelled at her as I placed Joey down in front of her, and Becca slowly lowered the girl as well.
"Get them in a room and lock the doors, now!"
A bullet whistled past my ear as the young woman gawped at me.
"Now!"
I shouted, and she nodded silently as she grabbed the children's hands and raced them upstairs.
"Jason!"
Haywan shouted as she kicked a tall agent right in the crotch.
"What do we do?"
I wanted to respond with a plan, with something that made sense and could map out our path to victory, but there wasn't enough time to think. As I looked out into the dining hall, I could see that the younger locals who had been given guns had taken the responsibility seriously. They stood with shaking hands as they fired their weapons, and even though their aim wasn't perfect, they were hitting more agents than I ever could have expected.
"We show these motherfuckers the door,"
I yelled, as another man ran at me,
"and hope that Cat's training sunk in."
I raised my sharp gun as the agent dove toward me, and he was dead before he hit the ground. I wanted to ask about Adhara, but I knew the girls wouldn't have left her unless she was safe, and I couldn't risk anyone overhearing.
"Jason!"
Debbie screamed from behind me, and the sheer terror in her voice made my blood go cold. Then I whipped around just in time to see Begbie launch himself at Becca, and I lunged the 3 feet between us and grabbed the fucker by the collar before he could grab the beautiful blonde. The bald agent snarled at me and tried to swing a punch, but I kneed him in the balls and chucked him onto the ground so hard his head smacked the woodwork. I stood over the dazed agent with my alien gun pointed at his chest, and Haywan and Becca flanked me with their own sharp guns as well.
"Leave!"
I growled.
"This is your last fucking chance!"
The bald man sneered as sweat poured down his face, and he made a sudden jolt to try and kick Haywan's leg out from under her. All three of us fired our guns before I even had time to think, and the government official flopped back onto the hardwood floor. His bald head bounced off the ground with a sickening thud, and blood spilled out onto the floor into a puddle that would make Gerald weep.
"What a sick, sweaty fuck!"
Becca scoffed.
"Are you okay?"
I asked the blonde.
"Yeah, I'm fine,"
she assured me. I looked over at the dining hall then, and I was shocked to see how many agents littered the floor with injuries or mortal wounds, and the locals of Ravenhall were mostly still standing.
"Fucking hell, Cat," I gasped. "They've handled themselves pretty well for a bunch of small-town folk."
"What can I say?"
the curly-haired soldier grinned.
"I'm just an excellent teacher."
Another gunshot rang out through the air as a bullet missed Haywan's foot so narrowly that she recoiled with a wince. The Korean gasped as another bullet shot past her, and the bullet lodged into the hardwood half a foot away. I spun around to see an overweight agent with blonde hair point his gun at my Korean lover.
"Show me the alien!"
he yelled as he waved his weapon.
"I mean it! You fuckers! Show me where the alien is, or I'll..."
"Right here."
The blonde man had fallen over before I had time to process who had spoken. Then I turned to the lobby and saw Adhara with a sharp gun in her hand as she glared down at the dead agent.
"What are you doing here?"
I yelled.
"I told you to hide!"
"Oh, you're meant to be in the woods,"
Becca groaned.
"I got my jeans so muddy showing you where to go." We help each other,
the alien replied.
We make sure each other is safe. There it is!
One of the female agents screamed above the din of shouts and gunshots.
Get the alien!
The middle-aged woman fumbled with her gun as she tried to push past locals and get to Ihara.
Oh, hell no!
Mikey growled as he raised his gun, and he shot a bullet into the woman's chest. The shopkeeper looked slightly alarmed as the agent fell, but he shook his head and then hurried over to help another young man who had been hurt. Chaos was still swirling through the castle dining hall and lobby, and the older residents of Raven Hall had shuffled to the back of the hall and cowered as guns went off every few seconds. All the younger locals who had taken part in Kat's lessons were giving a seriously strong attempt at putting up a fight, and several of them had tipped over tables to fire from behind them. They had to share the guns, and there were a fair few bullets that got fired into the ceiling, but they also managed to get a few good shots in and bring down some of the men in black who were trying to reach Ihara. My three girls had mastered their new alien guns, and they stood with the lilac-skinned woman near the entrance to the dining hall in a solid formation. Then we heard Debbie cursing someone out, and I squinted through the crowd to see an agent on the floor at her feet. He'd grabbed Becca's mom by the leg in an attempt to pull her down with him, and I was about to rush over and help when I saw the blonde woman grab a nearby chair. Without hesitation, Debbie whacked the man over the head like some kind of pro wrestler, and the agent's head flopped down onto the floor with a crack. I grinned as the older blonde woman dusted herself off, but then someone grabbed me from behind, and I immediately swung my sharp gun over my head and brought the butt of it down onto their skull. When I turned around, the man in black behind me was sprawled out on the floor, and blood poured from the dent in his head.
Nice, Jason,
Haywan panted as she delivered a spinning kick to a tall agent's crotch.
Thanks, I chuckled.
There were only a handful of the MI5 agents left in the dining hall, and I glanced down at my alien gun and realized I didn't know how to reload it.
Hey, Ihara, I yelled. How many rounds are in these things?
Rounds?
The alien asked as she took a shot at a man in black who lunged at her. The man's eye exploded as the sharp bullet blasted straight through his skull, and Ihara calmly shifted aside so he didn't land on her boots.
Bullets, I said. How do I know when to reload?
Ihara flicked her silver hair over her shoulder.
You can shoot 100 times.
Awesome, I grinned.
But then a stampede of footsteps pounded through the lobby at our backs, and I turned to see four more agents barreling in with wide eyes and raised pistols. They must have been part of the group who were out with the spaceship, and I hoped that the other two hadn't managed to escape during the chaos. The largest of the men spotted Ihara and gasped before he threw himself at the alien. Ihara was in the midst of tackling a female agent, and I raised my gun at the large man without a second thought. When I took my shot, the man crumpled to the ground before I even realized I had hit my mark, and I was once again blown away by the alien technology. There was a thud as the agent's body bashed against the hardwood, and I turned to see the girls had each taken down the other agents in the lobby just as swiftly. Then the other two agents who had been outside barreled into the lobby a moment after this group. But they were immediately taken down by the slightly haphazard shots of two local men. The deafening noise of the dining hall had lessened now, and a sea of black suits covered the floorboards everywhere I looked. The Raven Hall residents stood triumphantly among them, but there was one man in black left standing. A tall, middle-aged guy with narrow eyes and a crooked nose had his gun aimed at Ihara, but he didn't look very confident as he seemed to realize how alone he was.
Put it down, I growled,
as some of the locals scrambled to reload their magazines.
I need to take her in,
the man said, as his eyes flickered from me to Ihara.
She belongs to the government. She
fucking doesn't,
Becca snorted as she stood in front of Ihara. Haywan and Kat hurried over and helped form a wall in front of the pretty alien, and as proud as I was of them, seeing them all step in front of yet another loaded weapon made my gut do a backflip. I quickly closed the gap between us, and I brought myself ahead of the three girls and Ihara before I slowly approached the agent with the pistol.
I don't want to hurt her,
the man said shakily, and he waved his gun as he spoke.
We just need to run some tests, so step aside and give her to me.
That's not going to happen, I said. You have one more chance to lower your gun. The tall man wrinkled his forehead as he looked at me and lowered his gun, and for a moment, I thought he was about to comply.
She's mine!
He suddenly hissed, and he tried to raise his gun again, but I already had mine poised and ready. My next sharp bullet blasted through his forehead before he could take another step, and his head snapped back before he tipped over and crashed onto the bloody floor.
Take that, fucker!
Becca whooped. I scanned the dining hall, but it was clear we had taken all the agents down. There were three locals who had been hurt, and Harris was already on the ground in front of them as he tried to stop their bleeding. The older man who had been shot was alive, but it looked like he had a serious wound on his shoulder. Then two more men dove down to help Harris, and it looked like we might have just made it without any fatalities. Not bad for a group of small-town Brits with just a few hours of training.
Joey,
Harris said to the crowd as he pressed down on the old man's wound, and he desperately whipped his head around to find his son.
Is he still hidden? Is he safe?
Maria took him,
another woman said.
She took both kids. I'll go find them.
She hurried past us and made her way upstairs to locate the children and the young woman who had helped them. The younger locals who had been armed looked slightly alarmed as they looked down at the bodies of the government agents we'd all just killed, but a few of them looked thrilled with their work.
That was bloody awesome,
Mikey cheered as he strode around with his rifle over his head.
Hell fucking yeah! We took down the fucking MI5 bitches!
Are you okay, honey?
Debbie asked as she rushed over to Becca.
You're not hurt, are you? I'm fine, Mum,
the beautiful blonde replied.
I think we all are.
Will they be okay? I asked, as I looked over at the injured trio on the floor.
I hope so,
Debbie said quietly.
It looks like old Benny got the worst injury, but I reckon Harris will be able to stitch him up, no bother. You all saved me,
Adhara said, and everyone in the hall quieted down and turned toward the pretty alien. She was standing in the doorway of the dining hall with her sharp gun at her side, and she bit down on her soft purple lip as her glistening green eyes passed over the room of locals.
Of course we did,
Haywan said.
You are one of us now.
Part of the team, I grinned. And we might need your help to evaporate all these bodies. The three girls laughed while the locals looked at each other in bewilderment. But Adhara smiled at me like this sounded fun.
Oh, it's going to smell so bad,
Becca groaned.
Maybe goopified humans don't stink as bad as dinos,
Kat offered as she looked down at the bodies.
I hope none of them called for backup during all this.
Yeah, I nodded. I have a feeling this may have just bought us more time rather than completely fix the problem.
That'll do for now,
Becca shrugged.
Maybe they were the lost agents left in England?
I doubt it, I snorted. But I couldn't manage a smirk on the matter. There'll be more where this lot came from, and I'm guessing that they'll be on their way when they realize this bunch aren't coming back.
Yeah, this is a pretty big fucking mess of government officials,
Debbie muttered, and raised her eyebrows at the dining hall. Then she sent me a loaded look, and the two of us grimaced at the same time.
So, we need to get that ship working,
Kat said as she slung her weapon back over her shoulder, and she lowered her voice while she checked there were no locals eavesdropping.
We're still working against the clock. Adhara's people could appear any moment.
What?
Debbie hissed.
Don't worry about it, Mum,
Becca muttered.
We're handling all of the issues, all right? Just be cool.
Debbie's eyes widened, but she didn't keep prodding us for information. She just looked excited to be in on this private conversation as she crossed her arms, checked over her shoulder, and inched a little closer to my side.
More agents could show up, too,
Haywan whispered. Not to mention the last two scouts from Adhara's fleet could still be out there, I said. And Debbie silently gaped at me as I turned to Adhara. They may have crash-landed somewhere else, but if they didn't...
Possible,
Adhara nodded.
I sent out a distress frequency when I lost control of my ship. If my crew received it, they would await another message from outside the atmosphere. Would they think we kidnapped you?
Becca asked, and bit her lip.
I would tell them the truth,
Adhara said.
But until my ship works, my location cannot be found by them. Would you be able to contact them when we get to Korea?
Haywan asked.
Get where?
Debbie quietly hissed.
Mum! Be cool!
Becca warned, and the older blonde clamped her mouth shut.
I do not know,
Adhara answered the Korean.
They would need to be able to receive a signal, too. And if they are in the same situation as me, this could be impossible.
We all know the British government doesn't have them, I said. And if they're anything like you, they'll be more than capable of handling themselves, especially if they don't need to worry about dinos.
This is true,
the alien nodded.
but I do not know if they will find me, or if they are alive. Maybe someone else has found and stolen them in another land.
Edhara looked heartbroken as she said this, and her emerald eyes flickered as she stared down at the ground. I hated seeing her so upset, and I wished I could do something to ensure her fellow scouts were safe, but I settled for the next best option. Saving the fucking world and ending this mess once and for all. We need to get that radio working, I said. We'll finish it tomorrow and handle all of this, but tonight, we better help clean this place up. The locals had started to raid the pockets of the agents, and it looked like our gun collection had grown significantly as pistols were pried from dead hands. Car keys jangled as they were pulled from the agents' pockets, too, and it seemed that the locals had just scored some awesome new rides.
Hell yeah!
Mikey yelled as he held a pair of keys in the air.
New wheels for Mikey, motherfuckers!
Yeah, that won't draw attention when the next batch show up looking for this lot,
a nearby young man chuckled.
Fuck 'em! We've got some guns!
Mikey laughed, and I was a little proud of the British shopkeeper. Even though some nearby older residents looked genuinely concerned while they eavesdropped. The floor was covered in pools of blood, and some of the agents were injured so gruesomely that it was hard to look at. A trail of guts ran along the center of the hall, too, and something pink and organ-like slowly oozed down one of the boarded-up windows. There were smashed chairs littered in one of the corners where a particularly large-suited man had fallen, and it looked like there was no inch of the dining hall that remained untouched by the chaos. Then I saw Gerald was in the corner of the room with his back against the wall as he stared out at the mess of blood and bodies.
I better get him a whiskey,
Debbie sighed as she looked over at the dark-haired man.
I don't know if he's more in shock at the bodies or the stains. The stains,
Becca said.
It will definitely be the stains. We are talking about all of this business later, missy,
Debbie informed her daughter.
Yeah, fine,
the blonde Brit sighed. Debbie pursed her lips and then hurried off to comfort the Ravenhall worker, and Mikey strode up to us with a confident swagger in his step.
Hey,
the pierced man said.
I just wanted to say thanks. For the lessons and the guns, I mean. We wouldn't have lasted 2 seconds if you hadn't shown us what to do.
You all still need work,
Kat smiled.
A lot of work, but you did an awesome job. Nice posture.
The shopkeeper stuck his chest out at the compliment, and then he swaggered off to chat with his buddies while he kept his rifle on his shoulder.
Then tonight is for the cleaning?
Edhara asked me.
Not fixing?
Yep, and I think you might have a special job, I said. Taking the locals outside and showing them how to evaporate the bodies into those puddles of gunk.
It is no problem,
Edhara nodded.
I will need to go back to the ship to pick up more weapons.
Hey, everyone, I said loudly to the room. That was a good fucking job, but I think we need to dispose of these bodies before the smell of dead humans attracts dinos. There was a reluctant murmur of agreement among the group, and I glanced down at the puddle of blood which had oozed toward my feet. Edhara has a weapon that can evaporate bodies, I continued. It's obviously an extremely dangerous weapon, but I think you've proven yourselves capable of handling it.
Let's get a team with Edhara,
Kat ordered in a soldier's tone.
And a team to carry the bodies outside. Move, people!
There was a shuffle of feet as the younger members of the group tried to all go with Edhara, and I had to grab a few to join the body-hauling team. I guess we'll help with the moving, I sighed. Seems like they all want to go at evaporating.
I don't blame them,
Kat chuckled.
But they'll change their minds when they smell the aftermath.
Once the locals had been divided into their groups, we started the long process of carrying the dead bodies out onto the courtyard. We had several people on guard duty to make sure we weren't caught off guard by dinos, and Harris stayed inside as he tended to the injured. Most of the men in black were well-built and muscular, which meant they weren't easy to carry. I kept on making multiple trips back and forth to the dining hall, and my clothes grew more blood-stained with each trip. As the bodies outside started to get evaporated by the locals at Hara taught, the stench that hung in the air of the courtyard was almost unbearable, and I focused on breathing through my mouth as the work of disposing of the MI5 agents just became more and more gag-worthy.
What if this smell attracts the dinos?
Kat asked as she helped me carry the body of Begbie out through the pantry. I'm hoping it's not an appetizing smell even for them, I said, as I gagged.
Whoa. Whew. Besides,
It's a scent from Idhara's weapon, so they might not be interested. Since it's from their home planet, they could be used to it? We threw the bald agent's body down onto the gravel beside Mikey, who had tied a dark purple bandana around his nose. The pierced shopkeeper gave me a thumbs up, and then he steadied his borrowed sharp gun on the agent and pulled the trigger. The sky was black and full of stars by the time we lugged the last corpse out of the castle. Becca held the agent's feet as I carried his arms, and I sighed as we threw him down onto the gravel.
"That's the last one," I said, and Idhara nodded.
The alien looked exhausted as she rubbed her emerald eyes, and she smiled when Mikey eagerly offered to take care of the final body. Then we all headed back into the hotel, and the locals stretched and yawned as they discussed the fight and their experiences with alien weapons. A few people from the group even made a point of coming over to Idhara and shaking her hand, which she seemed utterly bewildered by.
"That was awesome,"
a woman with a brunette pixie cut said.
"You've got some killer moves. Such a cool outfit, too,"
another woman agreed.
"It does regulate temperature,"
Idhara nodded. But when the girl laughed at the statement, she seemed to realize what they had meant.
"Ah, it is also good to look at."
I smiled as I glanced around the hall, and everyone was grouped close together with relieved expressions on their faces. Even those who didn't talk to Idhara made a point to wave or smile if she glanced their way. And it really seemed that killing a bunch of asshole government officials had brought everyone together.
"Hey,"
Kat said sleepily as she strolled over from across the hall.
"That's all of the bodies, then?"
"Yep." I nodded and looked down at the bloody puddles on the floorboards. "They have all officially become goop."
"I'm so tired,"
Haywan mumbled as she smushed her face against my chest. And she just stood there with her arms dangling at her sides.
"I guess we should head to bed for an early start tomorrow."
"I don't really feel that tired," I chuckled, and stroked the Korean beauty's hair. "I don't know if it's the adrenaline of the fight or what, but I might have a walk."
"Outside?"
Kat asked.
"Don't go out in the dark, Jason."
"Just around the castle," I said reassuringly. "I'll come up as soon as I tire myself out."
"I think I'll join you,"
Becca said.
"I feel wide awake, but it might just be the shock of that god-awful smell."
"What about you, Idhara?" I asked. "Do you feel like a stroll?"
"I feel like a rest,"
the alien replied as she smiled softly.
"If we will fix the ship tomorrow, I need to be very awake for it."
I nodded, and Haywan and Kat started to trudge toward the staircase.
"Night,"
Kat called over her shoulder, and Haywan gave a tired wave as they began to climb the wide steps.
"Night," I replied. "I'll see you in bed."
"Good night,"
Idhara said, but she hesitated instead of leaving.
"Jason, thank you for saving my life. Thank you for caring about me being alive and coming to this place with all the government waiting. That was brave."
"Same to you," I smiled, and the beautiful alien smiled back before she hurried off to follow the other girls.
"Well,"
Becca sighed,
"that was an eventful evening."
"You could say that," I chuckled, as the locals started to head upstairs in groups. In the dining hall, it seemed that the injured people had been patched up, and Harris sat with Joey on his lap as they chatted. Gerald was on his hands and knees with a basin of soapy water, and he furiously scrubbed at the bloodstains while Debbie watched and sipped a glass of wine.
"Where shall we wander?"
Becca asked as she linked her arm with mine. "Wherever the lady wishes," I replied. "The castle is ours, and I feel like I've barely explored it." The blonde Brit grinned up at me as we started to wander up the stairs, and then we aimlessly strolled down the hallway. There were so many rooms and corridors that it was disorienting, and I soon forgot which direction we had come from. I couldn't remember passing half the things I saw when I last walked around with Idhara, but it was easier to focus on my surroundings when I didn't have a beautiful alien awkwardly walking beside me. Tonight, I had my beautiful and badass British girlfriend on my arm, and she strutted along like a princess while she cuddled up against my shoulder. The walk was just what I needed to get my head sorted, though. I was getting really fucking good at bouncing back from crazy shit lately. But tonight, I'd murdered a slew of government officials with alien weapons in a castle. I did that. And to be honest, I didn't regret a damn thing about it. I'd seen way too many guns pointed at the women I love today. And with dinos roaming the Earth and an alien fleet on its way to steal our planet, a man needed to keep his priorities straight. Today, every one of my beautiful women would go to bed without a scratch on them. And even our new alien friend and Becca's mom were safe. The way I saw it, today was full of personal wins. I smirked at the thought as I strolled around the next decadent corner, and it was so dark in this part of the castle that I could barely make out the shapes of the doors around us. I'm so lost, I sighed, and Becca giggled.
We should have left breadcrumbs,
she said as she snuggled a little closer.
What if we are never found again?
A tragic end, I nodded. They were so happy until they got lost wandering the first floor of a converted castle.
Do you think these are all bedrooms?
Becca asked.
There's so many.
I reached out and gently pushed the closest door to us, and it swung open to reveal a room piled high with spare linen and pillows. This tour is just too exciting, I said. Maybe we'll find a cleaning cupboard next.
Don't get your hopes up,
Becca laughed as we reached the end of the corridor and took a left. There was only one room in the small stretch of hall, and it didn't have the same white paint as the rest of the bedrooms. The paint job was gray and slightly peeling, and Becca pulled me toward it with a giggle.
Ooh,
she said.
The lonely room at the end of the hallway. This one must be haunted.
Oh, it will be, I said seriously. I think this is where the headless ghost of a forgotten king roams.
Will you protect me from him?
Becca asked dramatically as she grabbed the handle. I'll try, I winked, and I reached out and squeezed her butt as she laughed. The beautiful blonde pushed open the door, and it creaked painfully loud, just like something from Scooby-Doo. Then Becca stepped inside and flicked on the light, and I whistled as I took in the sight before us. There were three pearlescent chandeliers on the ceiling above us, and the slightly worn-out bulbs made the lighting dim and atmospheric. The sparkle from the light fixture danced around the walls and made the room look even more dramatic, which wasn't a difficult feat considering the whole place was set up to look like an ancient throne room. It had been somewhat preserved with the original stone fixtures and walls, and there was a faded, patterned rug on the stone floor and even a giant replica throne in the middle of the room.
Whoa!
Becca gasped.
This is awesome! Look, there's even a suit of armor! How cool!
I shut the door behind me and wandered around as I inspected the candle holders and tapestries that hung on the wall. It looked like it was all replica decor, but it was convincingly done, and I felt like I'd stepped into a time warp.
So,
Becca purred as she sat down on the throne, and she flicked her hair over her shoulder.
You said you wanted to get tired out before bed.
I caught the hint in her tone, and I strode over to the gorgeous blonde as she bit her lip. I do want that, I said quietly as I put my hands on the arms of the throne and leaned in close. Becca reached up and pulled me in for a deep, hungry kiss, and I knew I was about to feel like a king.